Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, and I think it's time to check in with... Well, I haven't really talked to anyone who's in a... Oh, I spoke to Colin Lane once from Lane and Woodley, but people in sketch groups, they're not as common as they used to be, but I tell you what, there's some good ones going around. Maybe I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying, but these guys, Arnie Donna, are absolute legends. Making me laugh a lot recently, watching their school series on YouTube. Anyway, let's call Broden. I know Broden. Oh, I know Zach, but I think I know Broden. Look, who? I don't know. Anyway, let's call him Broden from Arnie Donna. Hello?
Hello, hello.
Broden, it's Dave O'Neill.
Here he is. Here he is. Look out.
Look out.
Look out.
I'm taping you right now, so don't say anything libelous.
I was about to go hard. I was about to go very hard. That's very good.
Very good. Good catch. Very good. Yeah. You didn't sound like you. You've got quite a deep voice. You've got quite deep timbre in your voice.
I've got a spectrum. I have a spectrum of timbre and tone.
Yeah. Because you got And when you first started speaking, it didn't sound like you, but now I can hear it. I can hear your timbre.
It's all I have to show for a 15 grand hex debt of drama school is that when I answer the phone, sometimes people aren't sure if it's me.
Yes. So
that's good.
Well, often when you play teachers and stuff, you lower your voice when you do the.
Do you know where it comes from? My first job, when I was 18, my granddad worked at the MCG in the Melbourne Cricket Club. For 50 years, right? On the long room doors. So,
that's turning away a lot of tryhards, surely.
That's right. Yeah. You had to have a suit and a tie to get in there and all that stuff. And, when I was 18, just through complete and utter nepotism, I worked with him. So right. I was the sort of bouncer on the front door of the long room. So, and you had to my main thing that I had to say to people, and it was very just copying everyone who worked there was an old, retired copper,
yeah,
and they'd
right.
be like, they'd go up to someone who's, you know, had too many, and they're like, right, mate, from there on, water's in between those, all right?
That's great. What a great job to work with your granddad.
Yeah, that was really lovely. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it was literally just watching the footy, and I was such a spoilt little brat about it, too, I have to go to work.
Yeah.
The easiest job, and they were unionized, so there was constant pay increases, and yeah,
fantastic. I mean, I've been to the members, I've only been there to do gigs, and the first time they asked me to do a gig, I'm like, oh, for those rich guys. And then I was amazed when I went there on stage and going, where do you live, mate? Oh, I live in Moorabbin. Where do you live? I'm like, what? Am I the richest person here? I thought I'd be the poorest one. So
it's a funny thing. There's definitely there's a stream of doctors and lawyers and generations of wealth where people have membership cards and they don't even know they have them. They're just, you know, paid. But then there's a stream of people who are working class around Victoria and they were put on the list when they were born. And it's their one thing they care about before their car registration.
It's true. Yeah, they were great. They're a great audience. I remember. I've done it a few times. They were great. Right down my alley. And there's always at least one rich guy with a scarf on you can hang shit on. Oh, look at this bloke. He's from Brighton. Surely, mate. You're from Brighton? Sandringham.
It's a funny little microcosm. I was once told by a lady in the members' dining room. I remember I was 20 and I think she had the wrong something on, or she had to take something off to come in or something like that. And she said, do you know you're dealing with the upper echelon of society? Do you know that?
I love it. And so with Arnie Donna, did you guys meet it? Because I worked with Zach for a bit on, what was that TV show? Littleton. And so he was telling me, was it Ballarat Uni where you guys met?
Yeah, we all went to acting school in Ballarat. So Ballarat Acting School, I got heaps and heaps from it as a 19-year-old, but it's definitely not one of the ones. It's not the NIDA, and it's not the
not Whopper,
you know,
not Whopper,
the VCA or the Whopper.
No.
But it's you know, their whole thing is that a lot of those acting schools don't take you until you're 25 or a bit older, they say, because you're not ready yet. But Ballarat's very much, yeah, come in, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, whatever.
You're gonna move here, but that's cool. And
Oh, that was weird, man. Being like, I live with my parents, obviously, and you know, and moving to Ballarat and just renting a house and just living with my mates and drinking a lot.
Yeah.
Taking acting very seriously. It was good fun.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of like the American model. Because when I first went to uni and I met people that lived on campus at Melbourne Uni, some of them live closer to the university than me. I'm like, you live in Hawthorne. I live in Mitcham. Why? I could not grasp the concept of living at uni.
It's a cool thing to do, actually. Yeah, I remember,
it'd be fun.
Looking back, I was like, I was not ready for adulthood yet.
No, of course not.
I was on top of teacups. I remember the first night, it was me and my two best mates. We all went to the same, you know, we all moved in together. We all had some beers. We cooked like steaks for tea. It was awesome. And then we, you know, went and watched TV and had some drinks and went to bed. I remember waking up the next day after the first night of staying there and walking downstairs and all the plates and the half-eaten food was just still sitting there and thinking, oh, you've got to clean up after yourself. Like, I never had that thought before in my life.
Yeah. Because
white little brat.
Yeah. Because your mum did everything. Yeah. My mum was the same, did everything. My mum cried when we moved out of home. Poor mum.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was a twin. I'm a twin.
You really? I didn't know that.
My twin lives in Switzerland. And we moved to a shared house. And, poor mum. Anyway.
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. Important.
I can imagine it. I've got teenagers now, and which leads me to this. So you met at Ballarat Uni, because I remember. And so, what year did you first do the comedy festival? You reckon?
Yeah, we were 2012. So what happened is I finished in 2011 and got out. And the first sort of thing I put all my energy into, my mindset in about 2011 was I'm going to change the face of Australian theatre because it needs, you know, we need to fix it. So, you know.
There's always some actor in the paper. I remember one actor, I can't remember his name, but he's quite famous. He was saying, I want to bring theatre to Broadmeadows. You're like, mate, they don't want it. They don't want theatre in Broadmeadows. Oh, what's his name? He was in Love My Way. Brendan.
Could be Dan Wiley.
No, not Dan Wiley. The other one from Love My Way.
Brendan Cowell.
Yes, Brendan Cowell. Why can't people in mate, they don't want theatre. They don't want it. I love it. So what did you do to try and...
So we put on plays and, you know, you do on, like, there was always these discussions about what's wrong in the world and how we're going to fix it. And then you go, well, let's put on a play in a 10-seat theatre, charge $45 a ticket and change the world.
And your parents and friends will come and then they'll stop coming after a while.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no. Not another play.
We did a bit of that, and there was a bit of an idea, like, Zach and Mark were the funny guys at uni, and we're all just like, we should do something for Comedy Festival because it's an inbuilt thing. And I remember the first year we just booked a venue and we named the group just flippantly. And before we knew it, we'd sold like 100 tickets because friends and family were just like, oh, I want to come see you do something actually fun as opposed to a reimagining of The Rape of Lucrece. And so, yeah, we just sort of rented out the Derevan Council libraries
the function and the meeting rooms. Yeah, they'd be cheap, though. That'd be quite cheap.
They were $15. Yeah. You had to have, obviously, a library card, and it was 3 hours, $15. And it was a good little hack, actually. Like, it was a place you could go and meet for cheap and work. And we'd never written anything before, so we just spent, like, 3 months trying to write jokes, and it wasn't going very well, But what we had was, like, we had all this theatre training, so we knew that if we wrote a really bad sketch and performed it really well, we might trick some people.
Yes.
And, and that's what we did, and it was horrifying and scary, and the first year we did it, we got nominated for an award, the Golden Gibbo.
Oh, great.
And we were really rapt, like, oh, okay, let's, you know, no one wants to come and see us, you know, no one wants to come see us do serious theatre. Let's back this. We all love doing this. We all grew up, watching comedy, all the comedy. And so it was about 4 years later, it was my job. was my full-time job, which
I remember when I was working on some ABC show, and this executive told me there were four of you originally, weren't there?
There were, yeah.
There were four guys from Ballarat. I went and saw them last night at the Portland Hotel, and they were very funny. She was raving about it.
Declan Fay?
That wasn't Declan, no. I know
Declan. I remember he championed. There was a few of... there was a real, the generation before, a lot of people championing us. I feel like that happens a bit in Melbourne for the most part. Well, in good occasions, people get championed a bit by it, which is good.
Yeah, that's good. And now, of course, you've... jumping ahead, you've made that great series, which my kids have been enjoying a lot, and particularly my wife, the school series.
Glen Ridge.
Oh, fantastic. Glen Ridge. I love it. I just got the joke. Glen Ridge. Okay.
Yeah.
Great Ballarat person.
It's one of those layered jokes where it's not really for anyone, but it's funny to me.
Well, he used to do the Ballarat News. Of course, for people that don't know, he was the host of Sale of the Century for a long time, but he was a Ballarat news reader, wasn't he?
Yeah, when I was at uni, we had Dennis Walter,
Wow.
Yeah, but Glen Ridge, he's done lots of news reading. He's a real charmer.
Yeah. And that, because the school series, and anyone can have a look, it's on YouTube. In particular, we've watched many times the roll call where you play the teacher doing the school. Yeah. And that is a very funny sketch because it has so much in it. But I tell you, I left school, I'm 55, so a long time ago, and it hasn't changed. School hasn't changed.
I'm 31 now, so I'm quite out of school as well, which is crazy to think. But what was weird is, we shot this, it was a web series based on a live show we did, and so we had all these sketches, and we thought it'd be fun to shoot them. We shot them all at my actual high school in Viewbank in Victoria, which was a real, really screwed with my head a bit, is I wrote all these sketches about going to school and of memories of going to school, and what it was like, and then literally went back there and shot them in the places that I imagined doing them. And it kind of screwed with my head a bit.
What school is that? Is that Viewbank High or something like that?
Yeah, so in your time it would have been Rosanna East.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. And then they renamed them. They renamed the schools.
Or they merged. They did a Fitzroy Brisbane. They did a merger.
Yeah. Well, I went to Mitcham High, which is now called Melorna College.
There you go. Okay. Much better.
Very similar, I'd say. It looks exactly like my high school. They must have all been designed by the same person back in the 60s.
They're all that 60s, 70s brutalist architecture. And then at some point, one government's come in and given everyone a new basketball gym.
Yes.
So they've all got the same gym about 10 years later.
But it was like in the primary school, it was like half a gym. They only got like half a court. And it was very odd.
There's the Kevin Rudd. Every primary school now has a Kevin Rudd multiple use space now, if you look at them.
Yes.
and they all have the same issue. They all have the blinds don't open properly.
Yeah.
Or like.
Yeah, funny. I love that. And there's so many things that touch on your high school, like the kiln, getting the kiln, which my partner still says to the kids. Getting into the shower, get in the kiln. You got to get in the kiln. Don't get in the kiln. Which
was it? Half the sketches we write are what's something good someone else has done? Let's make our version of that. And that's like Abbott and Costello. We looked at who's on first.
And
had a stuff around it, writing to who's on first. And that's a strange one because it's the one that gets quoted back to me the most now. It resonates with people.
I get in the kiln. Yeah,
get in the kiln.
Yeah,
get out of the kiln. Don't get in the kiln.
It's one of those things that happen in high schools when they got a bit of, technology or a facility. In my school, it was the computer. They got a computer which was the size of a room, and the guy in charge was very protective of it. Because don't touch a computer. Don't touch a computer. And I reckon that was just a trope in schools where they'd get a kiln, they'd get a computer, they'd get some, and they'd be so protective of. You still see it to this day, because my kids are at school, you still see it, where they get a new facility and the teachers are so protective of it.
And there's IT departments within schools, and they never talk to any students. The only time you'll ever interact with them is if you've done something, and they'll come in and go, "What have you done? What have you done?"
Yeah, my brother's one of those guys.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's done it. Well, he was the one who got a trade out of me and my brothers. My dad was a trade. He wanted all of us to get a trade. He wanted us to go to the tech, get a trade. Anyway, Mark, he got a trade at Telstra, and then he eventually left that, and he worked for a Jewish school for like 20 years as the tech, yeah, the tech guy. And then they had a massive tech department. They had a robot that would sing and dance that he had to fix.
Really? What, in what, the 80s? What is this?
I don't know. 5 years ago, they got a robot that would do the Gangnam style. And
a singing robot?
Yeah.
We had a Coke machine.
Yeah, it made the papers because it's like a marketing exercise, I believe, you know, for the school. And now he's gone to a Steiner school, which is the funniest.
Right.
He's
okay.
The only tech in the Steiner school. The school's in the bush, and they only get computers in year 12. And so...
Oh, I love Steiner schools. My first job out of acting school was theatre and education. So I would go around to every school in Victoria.
Oh.
And do a play about cyberbullying, and it's because it's one of those things that like anyone over 40 is like, I have no clue what that is.
Yeah.
And they just chuck money at it and go, fix the cyberbullying.
Oh yeah.
And we had to do a few shows in a Steiner school, and it's unique students there where you'll be performing, and if one kid feels like getting up and going for a walk, then that's okay, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I need a talk. I mean, I try to avoid schools. I'll do staff rooms. I'll do the teachers. No problem at all. Because I study teaching, and that's cool. I can relate to the teachers. But once they... And one of the mums at school kept saying, you've got to come and give a talk on comedy which is not a Steiner school, but it's called Pres Hill, which you would know being in Melbourne. It's an alternative private school where kids who don't fit into normal schools end up. And it's in a very wealthy area. So the kids are a mixture of well-to-do kids that have been kicked out of posh schools, you know, and just kids that like alternative. And so I get there to talk about comedy. And this was only a few years ago. And within 15 seconds, a kid with dyed hair, like a 15-year-old, was hiding behind a couch heckling me. And I'm like, you reckon you're funny, are you, mate? You reckon you're funny? And I'm looking at the teacher. She's just shrugging like, oh. And I just said to this kid, hey, mate, you know what I do for a job? I'm a comedian, right? And so do you want me to treat you like I treat hecklers? Because I really go hard on them. I really go hard. He's like, no, you're all right, mate. You're all right.
That's where they all come from. They all come from Pres Hill. That's good.
Yeah, they're Pres Hill. Anyway.
This is weird. I've got to say something. This is going to sound weird, right?
Yeah.
But you were on a show called Agony Uncles a while ago, which I really liked.
Adam's Wars show. Yeah.
And you said one thing about bad gigs in there that has just stuck in my head since and got me through a lot of those things. You said, like, when you're doing a bad gig and you're in it, you think to yourself,
oh, yeah.
In 1 hour, I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to have a pack of chips.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be great. And I used to, if I'm at some awful school in the outer suburbs and it's going awfully, I used to think, soon I'm just going to be on the Eastern Freeway. I'll have a coffee. It's going to be great.
And you'll never see those people again. That's the thing. You're just like, yeah, okay, no worries. I mean, some people just brush them off, bad gigs. I used to take them back. Now I just think, oh, well, often it's not your fault. It's the physical surroundings or whatever. Just get in the car and drive off. That's it.
It's one of the great ruses in the world is money, comedy money from people who don't want to see it.
Oh yeah. I do a lot of, well, before the COVID, I would do a lot of corporate gigs and stuff. And there's a certain we're not paying to see you, so you know. And so that some of them, most of them are fine though. I find most of them are fine, but some of them you just go, oh, what am I doing here? But you think, oh, I'll be driving away. These guys have to work for this company for the rest of their lives. I don't have to. So I'm going.
Soon I'm leaving.
I'm trying to remember where I first met you. That's what I do. I reckon because I can't remember. I reckon I first met you at ABC Radio, maybe, with Lindy Burns show. Used to do that a bit.
Yeah, I reckon I saw you around, you know, comedy festival around, but never like, comedy's weird and you never really meet anyone.
You know what? No, I've had a flash. When I was doing Trades Hall and the guy on before me was a big YouTube guy, nice guy, what's his name? And I'm pretty sure you turned up. It wasn't Zach. And I was talking to you because you said, I'm going to hand out pamphlets to this crowd because we're also a big YouTube.
That's right. Yes. No, we did meet there. That would have been that would have been Neil Kolhatka.
Neil Kolhatka, and he honestly, his audience looked like Year 10 from Epping High School. They'd all come out, and occasionally a dad would be with them or a mum, just shaking their head,
Yeah. yes, that's right. I do remember meeting. That was an awful year because it was the first year that like Comedy Festival went, okay, it's time for you to sort of stand on your own two feet, out to Trades Hall with you.
Yeah.
And people who aren't up with the comedy world in Melbourne, during Comedy Festival, Trades Hall is where they send you to die.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. I mean, I didn't have a bad run, but you've got to have your own following, don't you? You just don't get walk-ups or...
It's right. It's because Melbourne Town Hall's where, you know, all the big acts are. And if you're up and coming, you can sort of get people after they've gone and seen Husey or, you know, Arj Barker or someone. Yeah. And so that was the first year we went out there and we were in a converted... I think it was the office of the Communist Party.
Yeah.
And we had to go out and flyer every night, and it was hard work.
Oh, it's hard yards, really hard yards. Yeah, yeah. And you were trying to tap into that YouTube audience.
You got to get that YouTube money.
That YouTube money. But I don't think Neil always said they weren't great audiences because they didn't kind of understand comedy. They just seen the YouTube stuff. They were more interested in getting their photo with him afterwards, getting a photo.
There's definitely, like, the YouTube fan is happy to see the show, and they're happy to see that the work that you've spent a year kind of doing, but more they just want to get a photo after the show. That's the main reason they're there, and maybe a T-shirt or a stubby holder.
But did you build up a big YouTube following?
We did it all at the same time. Our whole plan in that first year was we looked to, like, Leno and Woodley and went, well, they're awesome, and they're Australian, and let's follow their path, which was get really good, get some heat, trick a producer into, not trick, but like get a producer to get you on board and then sell the show to ABC. Like that's the way to make that's the way to make it in Australia. And as we started that process, we were making videos, you know, here or there to sort of show to producers was the only real goal of them.
Yeah.
And one of them we put up, you know, we're like, oh, this will be good. We'll put that up for people to see. And then, next day we woke up and it had like 100,000 views because it'd gone viral.
Gone viral, man. What one was that?
Yeah.
What was that?
It was a video called Crisps, which was just a weird, abstracty little idea we made about eating crisps very early on. And then we just sort of kept doing it alongside working really hard in our live shows. And before we knew it, like we were selling out massive rooms without any sort of assistant. We didn't have any manager. We didn't have any, you know, like publicist or anything. And so we built a sort of model where we would make YouTube content to build our audience. And then at the same time, like, sell, you know, we'd always, every time we released a new web series, we'd be like, hey, we've got a show coming out that you should absolutely come see. And that's how we sort of built our audience.
Yeah, right. I just know you're massive around Australia because I remember my nephew who's like a uni student in Canberra. I said, because they get a bit of comedy. He went and saw you. So he's obviously the classic. He would be on the internet a lot. He's just aware of you guys and a fan. So
they're everywhere now. Like the first year we did Edinburgh, I thought I was so anxious about flying over. I'm like, well, this is going to be the hardest thing we've ever done. And the first night showed up and there was like 20 fans there. And
I was that's like, good.
And we've done tours of the US now. We've done two tours of the US now all over the place, and there's fans everywhere. So it's
what sort of venues do you do in the US? You do like small theaters or clubs or?
We're playing, it depends on the place. And we played some rooms that were definitely too big for us, but we sold out a run in New York of about five shows in about 300 seater, I think. But then we also, we did a big run in LA and we did Dallas, Houston and Austin in these sort of 200-300 seaters. And then, but then also we did some awful shows like in Madison, Wisconsin, where we sold about 80 tickets in a 500 seater, which is always fun.
But
they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
But you know what I say? Don't punish the people that have turned up.
No,
that's a classic comedy thing. Is it coming? Oh, there's not many people here. Yeah, well, don't. They've turned up. You know,
it's so hard. Yeah, it's so hard for the comedian because you're looking at a room and seeing so many empty seats. Yeah. They don't see that. All they see is you.
Yes.
But usually where they are.
That's a
and
good,
they're happy with it.
Good theatre tip. Don't.
Yeah. That's right. In the depths of Madison, Wisconsin, performing to nobody, theatre comes back. Theatre training comes back.
So there must be some interest from the networks
Yeah, well, like it's been a slog, and yeah. You know, we made two pilots over here. One for Stan and one for ABC that went nowhere. We've just spent 18 months working away on something I'm not allowed to say.
Fair enough.
It should be announced in about a month, but very excited about it. But yeah.
Cool. Hang on. You're going to replace Studio 10.
That's right. Arnie Studio Donna. 10's coming back.
Arnie Donna. No, Studio 10's still on. Don't worry about
that. We're keeping Joe.
Arnie Donna. Joe Hildebrand will host. You know, host you guys. Anyway.
Yeah.
And you'll have to fit in Jono's infomercials, but around that, do your sketches, you know.
Yeah. Joe Hildebrand throwing Arnie Donna is a match made in heaven. We were actually axed, not indirectly, we were axed off 10 last year, which was like, we had our first boning, because we had a Rove very generously
asked us
to come do his show.
Yes.
And he was like very, we were given full autonomy. He just like, make some sketches.
And it was axed.
Exposed to people. And then we got boned.
Yeah, I saw the sketch. I love the sketch where the guy's watching Hey Hey. You're not going to watch Hey Hey without me.
Yeah, I think there's a chance, Dave, that was made solely for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else in the world who watches our YouTube channel got that.
I loved it. Oh, there's older people watching. Don't worry about that. Yeah, because I mean, I remember living in a shared house and we'd watch Hey Hey. And after Red Faces, we'd go out. We'd go out at like 8:30 at night to like a band or something.
Yeah, this is. I reckon I would have loved the 90s because I hear about this from your generation.
This was the 80s. It's probably
the 80s, right? Yeah, because like, I have older friends who talk about, you know, doing the same with D Generation, Late Show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Late Show was 90s. Yeah, early 90s. Oh, absolutely.
You watch Tony and Mick, and then you go and then you go out to a pub. Sounds awesome. And there's no internet, and there's no, how did you even know where anyone was?
That was the thing, because what would happen is you'd have to arrange. We lived in a shared house in East Melbourne near Collingwood, and you know, it's a classic thing.
What'd you pay, $50 a week?
Yeah, it was cheap. I lived there for 11 years, and and so we just had everyone from Mitcham or those areas, different schools, some kids from the Catholic school, some kids from our high school, would all meet at our house on Friday, Saturday night, and we tend to go see bands. Like, you know, the church or Kids in the Kitchen, and then we'd go to maybe a nightclub after, get a hot dog, souvlaki. But I do remember certain people in the group trying to pursue a woman or a young man, and we had to drive around to different bands and nightclubs to try and find them. There was no texting.
How crazy.
Maybe they're at the Punters Club. All right, let's go to the Punters Club. So we'd all go there.
That's so different from how people live today.
I know. But also, I remember when I got older in my 30s and had a partner, that you'd watch Hey Hey to 8:30, then you'd flick over to The Bill. That went to 9:30. Then you'd go, I might as well go to bed then, I suppose. I don't know.
What else are you going to do? Go to the video shop.
Yeah, but Saturday night, you go late. All you end up with is a Shawshank Redemption or Pretty Woman. There's nothing left on the shelves.
My last trip, I'm very proud of it. I went to a network video in Brunswick.
Right.
Not that long ago. Like, I would have been in the last year death throes of the network video.
Yeah.
But I borrowed a Netflix series on DVD. I borrowed House of Cards on DVD. I borrowed a Netflix
show. Great show. Yeah, great show. Fantastic. See, you're an old soul in a young body, I think, Broden.
I've talked to you about this in private, but I love... Like, the pizza in that era is my pizza, you know, in like a...
The big chunky, the chunky
the grey
pizza.
Circle box, the grey circle cardboard box.
Yes.
Oh.
Yum. Good times. Good chunky pizza. Yeah, because then it went all thin and artistic. But you can still get those chunky pizzas. You can still get them.
They're out there if you want them. I had to live in America for 6 months, like at the start of this year, end of last year. And the two things I yearned for were fish and chips, Aussie fish and chips.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And the Melbourne, like, middle ground pizza, where it's not crappy Pizza Hut and it's not, you know, crust.
Yeah, gourmet. Yeah, it's not gourmet. Yeah. Fish and chips is interesting because they don't have it in America, but they do have it towards the Canadian border. Because when I interviewed, what's his name? He's in Lord of the Rings. He's Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
Well, hang on, my son's yelling out. What's his name? Viggo Mortensen.
You interviewed Viggo Mortensen?
Yeah. Oh, on Nova, when I did Nova in the early 2000s, we interviewed a lot. And he came into the studio, and he walked into the studio, and he looked at me and Hughes, and he goes, I reckon you guys would know where a good fish and chip shop is. And we're like, yeah, mate. Because he goes,
that's so on brand for you.
Because he goes, I grew up near the Canadian border, and we love fish and chips. And every time I come to Melbourne, I've got to get some fish and chips. So we told him of a few. And then I saw him a year later, and he goes, hey, you're the fish and chip guy. I know you.
So Vigo's a broken man. He's driven by the fish and chips and nothing else.
Vigo, he loves his fish and chips. I should ask you my questions I ask everyone, Brian. You ready?
Please,
you ready?
Please.
What was the last thing you cooked?
What did I cook? I cooked a lentil bolognese. My partner's vegetarian. I made
very
a lentil bolognese. Yeah.
Is that nice?
Just replaced the meat with lentils. So what, yeah, I use my grandparents grew up in Thomastown or surrounded by Italians, and the Italians across the road, they got their recipe and I still use it, and I've just replaced meat with lentil.
Oh, you're a good man. Yeah. What about my second question? What was the last thing you watched or listened to?
Watched or listened to?
House of Cards, DVD?
Yeah, 5 years ago. I haven't taken in any new media. The last thing I watched was, I actually just watched the playoffs, the NBA playoffs this morning.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Well, looking up, watching the NBA playoffs. And what was the other question?
No, that was it, or listened to, but all right, that doesn't matter. what did you last listen to? Might as well ask you.
It was a podcast. It was a football podcast. Very boring, but two sport things.
AFL football or American football?
Yeah, AFL football.
Who do you barrack for?
I'm a Melbourne fan.
It's terrible.
The MCG sort of lineage there.
Terrible. Yeah. Well, anyway.
What are you going to do?
Melbourne. Yeah, I did a gig for the Melbourne Old Players. Again, it was one of those
gigs. You're
joking. Oh, my 20 minutes in, I was like, God, I wish I knew more about football. And because I grew up in a very football house. My dad's in his 80s now, still a massive Collingwood supporter. So with my brothers. And I kind of rebelled and went, no, I'm not in the footy. And then when you start on radio, they go, you got to pick a team. So I was Western Bulldogs because I lived in Footscray. But now I'm more Geelong because my daughter's into it. Loves Geelong.
Right.
Loves the G-Town. And but I did this gig for Melbourne. And it was in the MCG in one of those rooms that you would have been into, one of those function rooms.
Yep.
And there was maybe 120 of them, and they all had their wives there. So, and they're Ron Barassi with his wife. The guy sitting down the front, I kept calling him Dennis Pagan, but it wasn't Dennis Pagan. It was the other guy, Pagan. What's his name? The Melbourne... Fagan.
Oh.
Neil Fagan.
Oh, yeah,
Neil...
Chris Fagan.
Chris Fagan. And so I kept going, good, how are you, Dennis? How are things going? And everyone's pissing themselves. I'm going, geez, this is... And yeah, it wasn't Dennis Pagan. It was Chris. But they thought I was joking, but I wasn't.
Well, that's as long as they had fun.
Oh, look, I did the old Richmond Players. I did it 1 year. It was fantastic because it was in their old setup on Punt Road and they're all old, you know, guys swearing. And the next year they decided to bring their partners and the guy goes, yeah, the partners are here this year and we've got like a widow's table up the front. What? Yeah.
Widow's table.
That was not a good... I was definitely thinking 10 minutes in, I'm going to be in my car soon. My wife will be joining the widow's table when they bash me in the car park. Good times. And what was the last bit of human contact you had? That's my last question.
What would it be? Probably, I didn't talk to her, but my partner, when I woke up this morning, went to work and I was on a Zoom, but yes. My partner Annie, who works in Station Street
Fairfield. And I go to the Fairfield shop. I haven't been for a while because I haven't been to the shops. But
I messaged Dave O'Neill last week to let him know that I raided a pizza place that just opened up in
Bubba.
Station Street. I've been red hot.
Yeah, I've been. And you reckon is that good old school kind of in between?
Good middle ground.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Have a go
because I do like the Fairfield shops. But I haven't been. I've been trying to avoid going to the shops, I'll get back there because it's a good selection down there. It's a good selection.
Yeah, it's a good middle. Yeah, it's good. It's not a big, you know, have to go and into a big complex.
No,
it's a nightmare to drive down, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I hate malls, so I like the outside shopping situation.
Now, I have a question for you. This is a local northeastern Derebin area question. Apologies to your listeners, but what do you call that those shops on Bell Street in Heidelberg Heights?
I know them. That's where my physio is. Yeah.
That's right. What do you call it? Do you call it the mall or do you call it the mall?
Oh, are you talking about the West Heidelberg ones or the
That's
one?
Right. That's right.
Go to the mall. The mall. That's a mall.
The mall. The mall.
I mean, you would know that. I mean, I didn't grow up around here, but you know the north. If you grew up, if you went to Viewbank High or whatever it was called, you'd know the area better than me. You'd know. Yeah. You'd know West Heidelberg. The mall. Yeah, mate.
They used to have the Sara Lee wholesalers there.
Yes. I don't want to talk about all the gigs I've done, but I did last year, I did the West Heidelberg Business Park Christmas party.
Oh my God.
And it was at the Austrian Club, which is in West. Have you been there?
I've heard of it. Yeah, I know where it is. How'd that go?
Oh, it was great. But it's in the middle of nowhere in an industrial park, and it's full on Austria inside the doors of this old Austrian club with schnitzels and
good times.
Yeah, good times. Well, I'll let you go. You got to go. You know, you're busy, and
I'm very busy, man.
And everyone, have a look at Auntie Donna. If you're not aware of them, just have a look at some of their sketches on YouTube. I would start with the roll call. Is my favorite
one. Roll call, then go kiln for the Dave O'Neill experience.
And if you want like stuff a bit weirder, there's plenty of that. I think the roll calls are sort of you know, closest to a mainstream kind of sketch you guys do, and
it's a gateway sketch.
It is a gateway sketch, and then you'll be, and then half an hour later you'll be watching that sketch about the pudding. Oh, I feel like some,
pudding. That's going to be played at my funeral. The pudding one.
Thanks, Broden. Broden from Auntie Donna. Mate.